As the world begins its vaccination push, delayed rollouts draw criticism and concern. U.S. vaccine plan is not working, needs a reset, former FDA chief says. As Biden promises to hurry vaccines, a British experiment could be a test case. States increasingly dumping CDC recommendations and giving out coronavirus vaccines, analysis finds. Hospitals thought they'd see COVID-19 vaccine shortages. Sometimes they have to throw away doses. What to know about California's COVID crisis? 3/4 of COVID-19 patients experience symptoms 6 months later, Chinese study shows. And Texas announces sites for next COVID-19 shipment. We don't have any numbers for Midland or Odessa today, so we'll just begin with the Texas numbers. From the Texas Tribune, 1 in 5 hospital beds in Texas are now occupied by COVID-19 patients. Average new cases increased by 5,129 cases compared with the 7-day average a week ago. On January 10th, 12,952 new confirmed cases and 2,638 new probable cases were reported. Hospitalizations increased by 548 patients compared with a week ago. As of January 10th, 13,111 Texans are hospitalized for the coronavirus. Average new deaths increased by 74 deaths compared with the 7-day average a week ago. On January 10th, 186 new deaths were reported. And now we'll bring you some coronavirus briefs. As new coronavirus cases in the United States rise precipitously after the holidays, health experts are urging states and the federal government to speed up vaccine distribution, which has proved to be a logistical nightmare. In large metro areas such as Boston, Washington, D.C., and Houston, we need to be vaccinating at least 10,000 people every day for the next 8 months to stay on target, vaccine expert Peter Hotez wrote for the Washington Post. We are not even close to that, he added. Former FDA Commissioner Scott Gottlieb told CBS that the U.S. vaccine issues aren't about supply, they're about distribution. There are 40 million doses sitting on shelves right now, Gottlieb said, while states and the federal government point fingers about who's to blame for the slow rollout. We need to acknowledge that it's not working, Gottlieb said. Lawmakers who hunkered down together for safety while a pro-Trump mob attacked the U.S. Capitol on Wednesday may have been exposed to the coronavirus, according to the Office of Attending Physician. Chicago public schools are set to reopen for in-person learning today, but teachers are balking about the plan, and nearly 150 school nurses have objected on safety grounds. Chicago teachers face pay loss if they don't return. Ahead could be some of the worst days of the pandemic. England's chief medical officer, Chris Whitty, told the BBC, due to the spread of the new, highly transmissible variant of the virus, British officials hope to vaccinate most adults by the fall. Queen Elizabeth II and her husband, Prince Philip, received their first doses of the coronavirus vaccine on Saturday, Buckingham Palace said in a rare medical statement, apparently aimed to show royal support for the vaccination effort. Pfizer BioNTech aims to deliver 2 billion doses of COVID-19 vaccine globally by the end of this year. Los Angeles's Dodger Stadium will turn into a vaccination site. Pope Francis plans to get coronavirus vaccine, calling it ethical obligation. The World Health Organization team investigating the origins of the coronavirus pandemic will arrive in China later this week, China's National Health Commission announced on Monday. The WHO has said it welcomes China's announcement earlier today, which stated that a WHO team investigating the origins of COVID-19 would arrive in the country on Thursday. IOC member says it's far too early to panic about Tokyo Olympics amid coronavirus upsurge. Roughly 80% oppose holding Tokyo Olympics this summer, poll shows. Now here are some shorter articles. The U.S. has recorded more than 100,000 COVID hospitalizations for 40 days in a row, from CNN's Madeline Holcomb. With COVID-19 hospitalizations surpassing 100,000 for 40 days in a row, officials are trying to ramp up the pace of vaccinations across the United States. We really need to get this vaccine out more quickly because this is really our only tool, Dr. Scott Gottlieb, former commissioner of the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, said on CBS's Face the Nation Sunday. On Sunday, 129,229 people were in U.S. hospitals with coronavirus, but the day marked only the sixth highest in pandemic history, according to the COVID Tracking Project. Experts have long said that the best defenses against surging cases are preventative measures like masks and social distancing, as well as widespread vaccination. So far, at least 22.1 million doses of coronavirus vaccines have been distributed, and nearly 6.7 million have made their way into patients' arms. Health officials had hoped to get 20 million people vaccinated at the start of the new year, but the administration of vaccines has undergone delays and roadblocks. We need to acknowledge that it's not working, Gottlieb said of the vaccination plan. We need to hit the reset and adopt a new strategy in trying to get that out to patients. Gottlieb's warning comes just days after the U.S. crossed a grim threshold for the first time, reporting more than 4,000 new COVID-19 deaths in a single day on Thursday. Since the pandemic began, more than 374,000 people have died in the U.S., and more than 22.4 million people have been infected, according to data from Johns Hopkins University. Gilead expects remdesivir treatment to work on COVID variant, CEO says, by Hamza Shaban, Washington Post. The antiviral drug remdesivir is likely to effectively treat variant strains of COVID-19, the head of drug maker Gilead Sciences said Monday. The company is testing the drug on new coronavirus variants first detected in Britain and South Africa to determine its efficacy. But Gilead has already found in laboratory tests that remdesivir maintains its effectiveness against 2,000 coronavirus strains, chief executive Daniel O'Day said. Remdesivir works at the source in the cell where the virus replicates, and what we know is, in these new variants, that part of the cell is not changing at all, in fact, O'Day said Monday during an interview on CNBC's Squawk Box. So we fully expect remdesivir to be effective against these new strains. Hospitalized patients with COVID-19 can receive remdesivir, which may shorten their recovery time. The Food and Drug Administration approved the drug last year under an emergency use authorization. The variant is believed to be more transmissible than the older strain, which may force more sick people into hospitals and increase the number of fatalities. And as countries rush to inoculate their populations, the spread of a more infectious coronavirus variant could dim the prospect of widespread immunity. Much of U.S. data to catch these newest coronavirus variants is several months old, from CNN's Elizabeth Cohen. As part of the hunt for new coronavirus variants, an international database shows the United States ranks 61st in how quickly virus samples are collected from patients, analyzed, and then posted online. Countries with far fewer resources, including Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, and Suriname, process samples more quickly than the U.S. does. It's pathetic, said Dr. Peter Hotez, a virologist at Baylor College of Medicine. The median number of days from the time a sample is collected from a patient's nose until the time its genetic sequence is posted on GISAID, GSAID, an independent data sharing initiative, is 85 days, according to an analysis of GSAID data by the Broad Institute of Harvard and the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. By the time you wait 85 days, a sequence can go from being a rare variant to being half of the circulation virus in a population, Hotez said. As the world begins its vaccination push, delayed rollouts draw criticism and concern, from CNN's Eliza McIntosh. Political leaders are promising that mass vaccination campaigns will see life return as normal as a more contagious variant of the coronavirus spreads across dozens of countries, adding urgency to the race to end the pandemic. But vaccination efforts are rolling out slower than promised, raising doubts about an imminent way out of the crisis. In nations where vaccines have been authorized, criticism is mounting over shortages and delays to getting shots into people's arms, and solutions devised to stretch supplies, from administering half doses to spreading out the time between the two doses, have raised concerns from some experts. Some governments are pointing the finger at manufacturers for bottlenecks, while vaccine developers say it's an issue of supply. Others cite complications with distribution plans and a lack of trained staff to administer shots. But most public health experts say the slow pace is the inevitable consequence of creating a new vaccine rollout in record time. U.S. vaccine plan is not working, needs a reset, former FDA chief says, by The Washington Post's Kim Bellware. The first phase of the largest immunization effort in American history is faltering, former Food and Drug Administration Commissioner Scott Gottlieb said on Sunday. During an appearance on CBS's Face the Nation, Gottlieb said the United States should hit the reset button on the current vaccination campaign and adopt a new strategy before the more contagious variants of the virus that are already spreading in the United States mature to the point they potentially weaken the vaccine's efficacy. Right now, there's 40 million doses sitting on a shelf somewhere. So the feds say it's with the states. The states say it's with the feds. It really doesn't matter to the patient who's not getting access to the injection, Gottlieb said. Just 2% of the U.S. population has been vaccinated since the FDA approved the first two vaccine candidates a month ago. The vaccine rollout has been plagued by logistical issues, underfunding in local health departments, and a lack of a unified federal strategy. The Trump administration has punted responsibility to the states, leaving them to work up the entire framework for how to get shots into arms. New York City's vaccination registration process is one example of the Byzantine process that many patients must navigate. Comptroller Scott Stringer criticized the city's health department Sunday for bewildering sign-up procedures, including a complex account registration and 51 question field. We can't force frontline workers and those over 75 to confront a bewildering sign-up process, Stringer said via Twitter. Any barrier to getting shots in arms is only going to prolong the agony of this crisis. The United States will have to vaccinate 1 million people a day if it wants to meet its goal of having 3/4 of the population inoculated by September, Peter Hotez, a professional studying molecular virology and microbiology at Baylor College of Medicine, said in a recent op-ed. Hotez encouraged the federal government to fund mass-scale vaccination efforts and streamline the clunky process. He stressed the benefit of inoculating as many people as quickly as possible with the first dose. As Biden promises to hurry vaccines, a British experiment could be a test case. By William Booth, Washington Post, London. Faced with soaring hospitalizations and deaths, Britain is launching a daring campaign to combat a ferociously infectious variant of the coronavirus by spacing the first and second doses of approved vaccines out over months instead of weeks. The full vaccine development plan will be published by the government Monday, but the difficult decision to alter the recommended vaccination schedules will apply to the entire population, including the elderly and healthcare workers. Without enough doses immediately available, public health officials are betting that crucial second injections of two approved vaccines can be pushed back from their recommended waiting intervals, 21 days for Pfizer and 28 days for AstraZeneca, to 84 days for both. States increasingly dumping CDC recommendations in giving out coronavirus vaccines, analysis finds. From CNN's Maggie Fox. States are increasingly abandoning guidelines from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and taking their own approaches to giving people coronavirus vaccines, a new analysis finds. Overall, we find states are increasingly diverging from CDC guidance and from each other, suggesting that access to COVID-19 vaccine in these first months of the U.S. vaccine campaign may depend a great deal on where one lives. The nonprofit Kaiser Family Foundation, which studies healthcare policy, said in a report issued Monday. In addition, timelines vary significantly across states, regardless of priority group, resulting in a vaccine rollout labyrinth across the country. The report finds 40 states are still in phase 1A, either fully or partly. 10 states and Washington, D.C. are in phase 1B. Only Michigan has moved to at least part of phase 1C. While all states and Washington, D.C. are giving priority to healthcare workers and long-term care residents and staff in phase 1A of their plans as recommended, they are increasingly taking their own tax in phase 1B and 1C of the rollout. 10 states and Washington, D.C. have moved to phase 1B. For phase 1B, the CDC recommends vaccinating people ages 75 and older and frontline essential workers, such as firefighters, postal workers, teachers, and others. For phase 1C, the CDC recommends vaccinating people ages 65 and older, younger people with high-risk conditions, and other essential workers. The Kaiser analysis found that 10 states have added first responders, including law enforcement and firefighters, the phase 1A. These states are Arkansas, Georgia, Indiana, Maryland, Massachusetts, Nevada, New Hampshire, South Dakota, Virginia, and Wyoming. Utah added K through 12 teachers and childcare workers, while Louisiana limited healthcare workers to hospital staff only. Four states added seniors to the 1A group, people 65 and older in Georgia and Florida, 75 and up in Tennessee, and 80 plus in West Virginia. 14 states follow CDC advice precisely on who should be in phase 1B, while 30 add extra age groups and others, including educators, prisoners, and the homeless. Hospitals thought they'd see COVID-19 vaccine shortages. Sometimes they have to throw away doses. From CNN's Jacqueline Howard and Jamie Gumbrecht. In some hospitals, healthcare centers, and pharmacies in the United States, there are vials of COVID-19 vaccines that aren't making it into arms. Out of the more than 22 million doses of vaccine that have been distributed to hospitals and pharmacies so far in the U.S., only about 6.7 million people have received their first dose, according to data from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. There's no one reason for the slow rollout or doses going unused. Experts say it was never going to be easy to begin a mass vaccination campaign during a pandemic. It takes time to vaccinate and monitor large numbers of people, and some facilities are staggering staff vaccinations to avoid having too many healthcare workers out at once. The supply and demand don't always line up. Some in the highest priority groups, healthcare workers and long-term care facility residents, don't want the vaccine, or at least not yet. At the same time, the American Medical Association on Friday said it was concerned that some healthcare workers not employed by hospitals or healthcare systems face difficulties accessing the vaccine. To speed up the process, the federal government is urging states to offer the vaccine to people who are older or in higher risk groups. But some areas are still focusing on the earliest priority groups, even if that means doses brought out of cold storage go unused. We all thought that the real problem was going to be a shortage. We would have lines out the door. And what we're finding is that, from what we hear nationally right now, there's still a lot of vaccine. Dr. Neil Kalman, president and CEO of the Institute for Family Health, a nonprofit health organization that includes the Family Health Center of Harlem, told CNN on Friday. Every dose that's in somebody's arm is somebody that's not going to get sick with COVID, he said. It's not doing any good trying to ration it out like this week by week, because any dose that's sitting in a refrigerator is a life that's not being potentially saved. California has been hit the hardest in recent weeks, and here's a short article giving some statistics about what's going on there. What to know about California's COVID crisis. California has recorded more than 2.6 million COVID-19 cases and at least 29,701 Californians have died from the virus. The state continues to see a surge that's not slowing down. Here's what's happening in the Golden State. California set two records Saturday. The most deaths reported in one day, 695, and the most COVID-19 patients in intensive care units, 4,939. On Sunday, the state reported nearly 50,000 new cases and 468 deaths. In Los Angeles County, the worst hit part of California, there were 14,482 new cases and 166 new deaths Sunday. Some 7,964 patients with COVID-19 are being treated in Los Angeles hospitals, and 22% of those are in the ICU. Statewide, there are 22,513 patients in the hospital being treated for COVID-19 as of Sunday. Three-quarters of COVID-19 patients experience symptoms 6 months later, Chinese study shows, by the Washington Post's Gary Xie. Chinese researchers who conducted the largest study of the long-term health consequences of COVID-19 found that three-quarters of patients showed symptoms 6 months after being discharged from the hospital, with fatigue and muscle weakness prevalent. Sleep difficulties, kidney malfunction, anxiety, and depression were reported to be common as well. The study of 1,733 patients conducted at the Jianyin Tan Hospital in Wuhan, China, the original epicenter of the outbreak, was published this month in The Lancet. The British Journal said the Jianyin Tan Hospital study was the largest cohort study to date and had the longest follow-up period. The Chinese researchers essentially enrolled every one of the hospital's COVID-19 patients in the tracking study, except those who refused to participate, those who had other disqualifying conditions, or those who died or could not be reached. Researchers worldwide say the long-term effects of COVID-19, the disease caused by the novel coronavirus, are still not fully known. Anecdotal evidence and smaller or shorter studies suggest that COVID-19 may have a lasting impact on a patient's sense of taste and smell, among other things. The Chinese study, which included patient questionnaires, blood and pulmonary tests, and walking tests, found that 76% reported symptoms 6 months after being discharged. More than 60% reported fatigue and muscle weakness, while about a quarter reported sleep difficulties and hair loss. Anxiety and depression were also common and reported by 23% of subjects. Tests showed a considerable proportion of patients had poor lung function 6 months after being discharged. About 56% of patients who had the worst symptoms and needed a ventilator showed abnormal pulmonary diffusion capability after 6 months, while 22% of less severe cases, those who did not require supplemental oxygen, showed reduced lung diffusion. The study showed that researchers did not have baseline pulmonary function data to compare with the 6 months' results. These results should support that those with severe disease need post-discharge care. Longer follow-up studies in a larger population are necessary to understand the full spectrum of health consequences from COVID-19, the authors concluded. And finally, here's an article from the Texas Tribune. Texas announces sites for next COVID-19 vaccine shipment. State health officials said Sunday that 28 hubs will be getting 158,825 doses this week, by Patrick Svetik, published January 10th. Texas health officials on Sunday released a list of coronavirus vaccination hubs that will receive the state's next shipment of vaccines. These 28 hubs will get 158,825 doses of the vaccine this week, according to the Texas Department of State Health Services. Another 38,300 doses will go to other providers across the state. The number of doses that each provider is getting is based on its own estimate of how many people it could vaccinate in a week, DSHS said. These hubs are meant to streamline large-scale vaccination as Texas continues to prioritize vaccinating people who are healthcare workers, people who are 65 and older, and those with medical conditions that increase their risk. The 28 hubs for this week are located in some of the state's biggest metropolitan areas, as well as the Rio Grande Valley and more rural regions. In announcing the plan last week, DSHS said the hubs will be required to set up registration phone numbers and websites and to focus on the most vulnerable communities in their region. Contact information for the hubs can be found here, and I will read that in a moment. They list the 28 hubs followed by their county and how many doses they are receiving. And I'm scrolling down to look for West Texas region hubs. The first one I see is the City of Lubbock Health Department in Lubbock County. They will receive 5,000 doses. And that is the only West Texas county that I am seeing here in our region that is receiving any of the vaccines this week in this hub system that the Texas Department of Health Services has set up. I will go ahead and give the phone number for Lubbock, as I'm seeing here that Midland, Odessa, Abilene, San Angelo, far west Texas counties, none of those cities are listed in this hub system. Lubbock is the only one. So I'm going to, in just a moment, give out the phone number for the City of Lubbock Health Department. They emphasize across this that they are asking not to just show up and to call or go online for more information about that particular hub. So here's the phone number for Lubbock. I'm going to give it twice. It is 806-775-2933. One more time, City of Lubbock Health Department, 806-775-2933. And with that, we wrap up our broadcast for today's coronavirus update from the Recording Library of West Texas. I'm Michael. Coming up next, we'll bring you a health publication that'll take us to 2 o'clock, and then after that, we'll bring you USA Today with national news. 3 o'clock brings our local news broadcast, and I'm glancing over the local newspaper's front pages to bring you some of the articles that our volunteers will be reading today. Of course, the Midland Reporter-Telegram is only published a Saturday edition, as they're not publishing on Sundays and Mondays anymore. So here are some articles from that front page of Saturday's MRT. MMH says doctors shouldn't prescribe inhaled steroids. Capital. Jenny Cudd says Capitol riots were not what is being portrayed. Candidates continue. MISD says superintendent search goes to second round. From the Odessa American. Officer-involved shooting. Traffic stop leads to officer-involved shooting. Woman arrested, taken to Ector County Jail. Food bank continues operations. COVID and money woes nagging Texas representatives. Biennial session opens Tuesday in Austin. Total loss. Monahan's trooper and family look to rebuild after house fire. Snow blankets basin, second time in less than a week. Those are some of the stories our volunteers will be reading at 3 o'clock. At 6, more news with the Wall Street Journal, and we'll be back tomorrow afternoon at 1. As always, thank you for joining us today. Be well and have a great day.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 41 and clear. Tonight, clear with a low in the mid-30s. Then, tomorrow, clear with a high in the upper 50s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the mid-40s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. Thank you for listening to Enable This Week. I am sure you have had a milestone birthday and said to yourself, I wish I could turn back the clock. Well, some scientists at Harvard Medical School are trying to do just that. They are reversing the aging process in retinal cells. Their goal is to restore vision. So here's the story. The information comes from a website called SciTech Daily. That's spelled SciTechDaily.com. The headline reads, Scientists reverse the aging clock, restore age-related vision loss through epigenetic reprogramming. This was submitted by Harvard Medical School on December 2nd of 2020, just last month. Harvard Medical School scientists have successfully restored vision in mice by turning back the clock on aged eye cells in the retina to recapture youthful gene functions. The team's work, described today on December 2, 2020, in the journal called Nature, represents the first demonstration that it may be possible to safely reprogram complex tissues, such as nerve cells of the eye, to an earlier age. In addition to resetting the cell's aging clock, the researchers successfully reversed vision loss in animals with a condition mimicking human glaucoma, a leading cause of blindness around the world. The achievement represents the first successful attempt to reverse glaucoma-induced vision loss, rather than merely stem its progression, the team said. If replicated through further studies, the approach could pave the way for therapies to promote tissue repair across various organs and reverse aging and age-related diseases in humans. Here comes a quote. Our study demonstrates that it's possible to safely reverse the age of complex tissues, such as the retina, and restore its youthful biological function. This is a quote from senior author David Sinclair, who's professor of genetics in the Blavatnik Institute at Harvard Medical School. And he's co-director of the Paul Glenn Center for Biology of Aging Research at Harvard Medical School. And he's considered to be an expert on aging. Sinclair, that's David Sinclair, and colleagues caution that findings remain to be replicated in further studies, including in different animal models, before any human experiments. Nonetheless, they add, the results offer a proof of concept and a pathway to designing treatments for a range of age-related human diseases. Here's a quote from Sinclair. If affirmed through further studies, these findings could be transformative for the care of age-related vision diseases like glaucoma and to the fields of biology and medical therapeutics for disease at large, Sinclair said. For their work, the team used an adeno-associated virus. That's abbreviated AAV, adeno-associated virus, as a vehicle to deliver into the retinas of mice three youth-restoring genes. And those three genes are called OCT4, SOX2, and KLF4. These three youth-restoring genes are normally switched on during embryonic development. The three genes, together with a fourth one, which was not used in this work, are collectively known as the Yamanaka factors. I'll spell that. Y-A-M-A-N-A-K-A. Yamanaka factors. The treatment had multiple beneficial effects on the eye. First, it promoted nerve regeneration following optic nerve injury in mice with damaged optic nerves. Second, it reversed vision loss in animals with a condition mimicking human glaucoma. And third, it reversed vision loss in aging animals without glaucoma. The team's approach is based on a new theory about why we age. Most cells in the body contain the same DNA molecules, but have widely diverse functions. To achieve this degree of specialization, these cells must read only genes specific to their type. This regulatory function is the purview of the epigenome, a system of turning genes on and off in specific patterns without altering the basic underlying DNA sequence of the gene. This theory postulates that changes to the epigenome over time cause cells to read the wrong genes and malfunction. This gives rise to diseases of aging. One of the most important changes to the epigenome is DNA methylation.
Good afternoon. Welcome to your coronavirus update for Tuesday, January 12th, 2021 from the Recording Library of West Texas. I'm Michael. We have a busy program for you today. Here are some of the articles that we'll be reading. U.S. reports more than 204,000 COVID-19 cases. The U.S. has averaged more than 3,000 COVID-19 deaths a day over the past week. The Texas legislature convenes for its 2021 session Tuesday. HHS announced sweeping changes to COVID-19 vaccine distribution. National Guard is helping administer the COVID-19 vaccine in 12 U.S. states. Moderna says there would be no problem for U.S. government agencies to plan second doses as needed. Moderna expects its vaccine will protect against coronavirus for at least a year. U.S. Health Secretary admits vaccine administration in states has been too narrowly focused. The World Health Organization warns that herd immunity won't happen in 2021, even with vaccines. The CDC says no sign of homegrown U.S. coronavirus variant, but scientists need to look harder. Gut germs could affect coronavirus risk, study finds. U.S. tops lists of nations with biggest tourism revenue losses from pandemic. First, we'll take a look at the numbers today. From the Odessa American, we do have updated numbers finally for Ector County. Ector County total cases, both confirmed and probable, 11,543. Ector County negative, 37,671 out of 49,695 tested, with 481 pending, 193 deaths. Recovered, 9,711. Active, 1,651. ECISD daily cases, 5 students, 11 staff. The Midland Reporter-Telegram did not report statistics for Midland County today, so we're looking at the Midland County Health Department's website for these numbers. These are COVID-19 numbers through January 11th. Total cases, 12,861. Total cases in Midland County per DSHS, 57,000. Deaths, 194. From the Midland ISD dashboard, total confirmed cases, 1,198. Midland Independent School District lists cases in January at 134. Also from Midland Health's website, hospital occupancy, 295 inpatient rooms, rooms occupied, 237. COVID total, 85% is the 7-day average, 79% is the units occupied. Hospital occupancy is 80% occupied. The 7-day average is 83% occupied. The COVID percentage of capacity is 26% occupied, with the 7-day average at 28%. And then this from an article from today's Midland Reporter-Telegram. State says COVID patients above 15% in Midland region. The Midland-Odessa region of the state is again above the level that could mean business occupancy restrictions are put back into place. The Department of State Health Services reported early Monday that the percentage of COVID patients compared to all hospital capacity jumped from 12.41% on Friday to 16.22% on Saturday, and then 15.96% on Sunday. According to Governor Greg Abbott's executive order, if any trauma service area has 7 consecutive days in which the number of COVID-19 hospitalized patients exceeds 15% of total hospital capacity, restrictions are put into place that include 50% business occupancy. From the Texas Tribune, 1 in 5 hospital beds in Texas are now occupied by COVID-19 patients. Average new cases in Texas again increased by 4,077 cases compared with the 7-day average a week ago. On January 11th, 13,308 new confirmed cases and 1,343 new probable cases were reported. Hospitalizations increased by 436 patients in Texas compared with a week ago. As of January 11th, 13,397 Texans are hospitalized for the coronavirus. Average new deaths increased by 74 deaths compared with the 7-day average a week ago. On January 11th, 56 new deaths were reported. And now here are coronavirus briefs. Operation Warp Speed plans to announce changes to the vaccine rollout today. Notably, the Trump administration will make more doses of the coronavirus vaccine available immediately, rather than hold them back for second doses. The move comes just days after President-elect Joe Biden announced plans to release nearly all of the supply. It also plans to urge states to provide the vaccine to anyone 65 or older and to adults who have a pre-existing condition that puts them at greater risk for severe illness. The change will sharply increase the number of people eligible for the shots. We'll have more detailed stories on that in just a moment. A third House member, Brad Schneider, Democrat, Illinois, tested positive for coronavirus after sheltering with maskless Republicans during the Capitol riot. Schneider says he is angry at the selfishness and arrogance of the anti-maskers who put people at risk. The rise in new coronavirus infections in the United States has been so rapid in recent weeks that scientists cannot rule out the possibility that an undetected variant is accelerating the spread. Research suggests most people who recovered from COVID-19 are immune for at least 8 months. Yet, epidemiologists are largely still urging this population to get the vaccine if it's their turn in line. Three gorillas at the San Diego Zoo have contracted the coronavirus, marking the first known instance of infections among great apes. The ride-hailing firm Uber and vaccine maker Moderna are joining hands to boost access to the coronavirus vaccine, evaluating plans to work with health providers to schedule rides for people with appointments to get the shots and send reminders. The U.S. greenhouse gas emissions dropped more than 10% last year amid the pandemic. The 2021 Masters will have a limited number of spectators in attendance. Fred Ridley, chair of Augusta National Golf Club, announced today in a statement. Arizona sets new COVID-19 record with more than 1,000 patients in the ICU. Citi Field Stadium, home to the New York Mets, will become a vaccination site. Disneyland, long shuttered because of the pandemic, will soon reopen as a mass vaccination site where thousands of Southern Californians can receive shots each day. More than 50% of Florida's vaccines have gone to the senior population, the governor says. Olympic organizers will go ahead with Tokyo Games prep during COVID-19 state of emergency. Hordes of Alabama football fans packed the streets of Tuscaloosa after Monday night's national championship victory over Ohio State, ignoring pleas from the city's mayor and university officials. A Minnesota case of the coronavirus variant, first identified in the UK, nudges back the timeline when the strain was known to be circulating in the United States. The earliest known positive sample in the U.S. was taken December 18th from a person in Minnesota, according to data posted Monday to the genomic database GSED. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reports at least 72 cases of the variant in 10 U.S. states, according to data posted Monday. The variant has also been identified in at least 4 dozen countries worldwide. While the variant appears to spread more easily, there's no evidence that it's more deadly or causes more severe disease, the CDC says. Now here are some short articles. U.S. reports more than 204,000 COVID-19 cases, from CNN's Joe Sutton in Atlanta. The United States reported 204,652 new COVID-19 cases and 1,731 virus-related deaths on Monday, according to Johns Hopkins University. The latest figures bring the nationwide total to at least 22,613,782 coronavirus cases, including 376,060 fatalities. For the past 7 consecutive days, the country has reported more than 200,000 new COVID-19 cases every single day, according to JHU. And over the past week, the U.S. recorded a total of more than 1.7 million COVID-19 cases and over 20,000 deaths. The totals include cases from all 50 states, the District of Columbia, and other U.S. territories, as well as repatriated cases. Vaccines. At least 25,480,725 vaccine doses have been distributed, with at least 8,987,322 shots administered, according to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The U.S. has averaged more than 3,000 COVID-19 deaths a day over the past week, from CNN's Christina Maxouris. Health officials had warned the COVID-19 pandemic would make winter one of the most difficult times in U.S. history. The prediction is quickly proving true. December was devastating, and January could be deadlier. For the past week, the U.S. averaged more than 3,000 COVID-19 deaths per day, and Monday marked the 7th day in a row the country reported more than 200,000 new COVID-19 infections. The grim numbers have been fueled by last month's holiday travels and gatherings that experts had warned against. "This is what we were afraid of, people letting their guard down over Christmas and New Year's," New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy said Monday, while announcing the spread of the virus was increasing across the state. Now from the Texas Tribune. The Texas legislature convenes for its 2021 session Tuesday, by Alex Samuels, Cassandra Pollock, and Patrick Svivtek, January 11th. The 2021 session of the Texas legislature will commence Tuesday under pervasive uncertainty. Lawmakers have been waiting for months to see how it will be conducted safely as the coronavirus pandemic rages. Both chambers are expected to convene at 12 p.m. State legislatures across the country are looking for ways to conduct their business in spite of restrictions on indoor gatherings because of the coronavirus. Already, two Texas House Democrats, Michelle Beckley of Carrollton and Anna Maria Ramos of Richardson, have said they will not attend the opening day of the legislative session, calling the gathering of 150 House members a super spreader event. For Tuesday, the Texas House and Senate have put in precautions for members and invited guests in each chamber. It's unclear if leadership will relax such measures if the vaccine becomes more readily available. In a last-minute change, the Department of Public Safety announced Monday that anyone who wants to enter the Capitol will be required to take a coronavirus test. Beyond opening day, State Representative Dave Fallon asked a group of lawmakers to make recommendations and solicit input from members on what changes should be made to the chamber's rules. The Senate, meanwhile, has been more tight-lipped on what precautions will be put in place during the legislative session. Since the Capitol closed in mid-March, both Democrats and Republicans from each chamber have raised questions about the accessibility of the legislative process. State Representative Briscoe Kane, Republican, Deer Park, asked the Attorney General to weigh in on whether the legislature has the power to close the Capitol and whether members could debate or vote on legislation from outside the chamber. Some disability rights advocates, meanwhile, have raised concern about the uncertain rules on testifying in committee hearings remotely and have expressed hesitancy about going to the Capitol in person. Tackling the state's current 2-year budget and writing the next one will be one of the largest items on the legislature's plate, though lawmakers received better-than-expected news Monday when Texas Comptroller Glenn Hagar unveiled the biennial revenue estimate. Lawmakers will also have to respond to the ongoing pandemic and address other policy issues that have been focal points throughout the pandemic, such as public education funding and health care. after some Republicans argued that Abbott overstepped his authority over responding to the pandemic, proposals at the legislature were filed to curb the emergency powers of a governor during a declared disaster. The more conservative faction of the GOP is also expected to again push a bill that would ban cities and local governments from using taxpayer dollars to lobby the state government after the measure failed during the 2019 session. HHS announced sweeping changes to U.S. COVID-19 vaccine distribution. Here are the key things to know from CNN's Maggie Fox. U.S. Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar said Tuesday the federal government will no longer hold back coronavirus vaccine doses it kept in reserve and is asking states to open vaccinations to people 65 and older and people with chronic conditions who are at higher risk of severe disease. He said the federal government would no longer hold back doses of the vaccine to ensure that people who got their first doses would get second doses too. We can now shift all of the dose that have been held in physical reserve, Azar said. Plus, states should vaccinate more people. We are telling states they should open vaccinations to all people 65 and over and all people under age 65 with a comorbidity with some form of medical documentation, Azar said, stumbling slightly over the wording. Azar framed the change, which matches an approach announced by the incoming Biden administration, as something that had been part of the plan all along. A senior administration official told CNN on Tuesday the shift follows two Operation Warp Speed meetings Azar held over the past 48 hours on how to speed up the lagging process. Azar defended the slow and often chaotic rollout of vaccines. Several triggers have brought us to that point. Nearly 38 million total doses of vaccine to date, including about 25 million first doses, have been made available for states to order against, he told a news briefing. Azar blamed states for the slow rollout. In some states, heavy-handed micromanagement of this process has stood in the way of vaccines reaching a broader swath of the vulnerable population more quickly, Azar said. National Guard is helping administer the COVID-19 vaccine in 12 U.S. states, from CNN's Carrie Enriquez. Two more states have begun using the National Guard to help administer COVID-19 vaccinations, according to National Guard spokesperson Wayne Hall. Oklahoma and North Dakota are the latest additions, bringing the total numbers of states to 12. The 10 other states are New Hampshire, Maryland, Michigan, North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, Mississippi, California, Nevada, and Arizona. The majority of states are not relying on the National Guard to administer vaccines. President-elect Joe Biden's transition team has discussed with governors the use of the National Guard, and as part of the ongoing agency review process, discussed with the Department of Defense the use of the military for the incoming administration's COVID-19 vaccination efforts, a transition official tells CNN. Biden said recently that one way in which his COVID task force will look to speed up the national COVID vaccination process after he takes office would be to potentially utilize the National Guard at mass vaccination sites. As CNN reported today, the deployment of the National Guard as part of the vaccination efforts is one of the major details that Biden's COVID team is deliberating over days away from the inauguration. Moderna says there would be no problem for U.S. government agencies to plan second doses as needed, from CNN's John Bonifield. Ray Jordan, a spokesperson for Moderna, told CNN the company is not publicly providing weekly or monthly estimates of production. However, they have been working closely with the new administration and U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, who are being informed of what Moderna can supply. Thus, there would be no problem for government agencies to plan second doses as needed, Jordan said. Moderna expects its vaccine will protect against coronavirus for at least a year, from CNN Health's Maggie Fox. Biotechnology company Moderna believes its vaccine should protect people against COVID-19 for at least a year, a top official told investors Monday. Our expectation is that the vaccine should last you at least a year, Moderna's chief medical officer, Tal Zaks, told the J.P. Morgan 39th Annual Healthcare Conference. Moderna's coronavirus vaccine is one of two vaccines issued emergency use authorization from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Pfizer and partner BioNTech also have EUA. The company will have to test people to see if adding a third dose, a boost, might extend protection, Zach said. Currently, the vaccine is given as two doses about a month apart. Because both vaccines were only invented within the past year, no one knows how long they'll protect people. We'll have to boost people to see how well the boost works, Zach said. We think there is an opportunity to boost, especially the ones at high risk, should you need it. U.S. Health Secretary admits vaccine administration in states has been too narrowly focused. From CNN Health's Naomi Thomas. After a slow vaccine rollout, U.S. Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar described on Good Morning America on Tuesday changes that will make all vaccine doses available in the U.S., broaden the groups states are urged to vaccinate, and open more channels of administration. Azar said the change is just a staging, moving to the next phase on the vaccine program, although a senior administration official tells CNN the shifts come after two Operation Warp Speed meetings Azar held over the past 48 hours on how to speed up the lagging process. As recently as Friday, Operation Warp Speed had pushed back on the Biden administration plan to release all available vaccine doses. We've had so much success with quality and predictable manufacturing and almost flawless distribution of the vaccine, but we have seen now that the administration in the states has been too narrowly focused, Azar said Tuesday. As part of the plan, we have already made available every dose of vaccine, Azar said, explaining that second doses were previously held back. We now believe that our manufacturing is predictable enough that we can ensure second doses are available for people from ongoing production. So everything is now available to our states and our healthcare providers. Second, he said, they are calling on governors to vaccinate people 65 and older and people younger than 65 with comorbidities, saying, we've already distributed more vaccine than we have healthcare workers and people in nursing homes. Finally, we've got to get more channels of administration. We've got to get it to pharmacies, get it to community health centers, he said, adding that they are there and will deploy teams to support states doing mass vaccination efforts if they wish to do so. He also said it has been overly hospitalized so far in too many states. WHO warns that herd immunity won't happen in 2021, even with vaccines. The World Health Organization has warned that social distancing measures will need to stay in place for the rest of this year, even as vaccination rollouts get underway globally, because it takes time to build up herd immunity. WHO's chief scientist, Dr. Soumya Swaminathan, said herd immunity, a situation where the majority of a population becomes immune to the virus, either because they have become infected and recovered or through vaccination, won't be achieved this year. Speaking at a briefing on Monday, Swaminathan said, because even as vaccines start protecting the most vulnerable, we are not going to achieve any level of population immunity or herd immunity in 2021. And even if it happens in a couple of pockets in a few countries, it's not going to protect people across the world. Swaminathan added that until herd immunity is achieved, public health measures such as masks and social distancing will need to remain in place. The vaccines are going to come. They are going to go to all countries. But meanwhile, we mustn't forget there are measures that work. It's really important to remind people, both governments as well as individuals, on the responsibilities and the measures that we continue to need to practice for the next, well, for the rest of this year at least, she said. CDC says no sign of homegrown U.S. coronavirus variant, but scientists need to look harder. By the Washington Post's Joel Achenbach, Kim Bellware, and Hamza Shaban. Mutations in the novel coronavirus and the sudden appearance of the highly contagious British variant have become a top concern of scientists and public health officials in the United States, who are vowing to improve the spotty surveillance of the pathogen as it adapts to its human host and potentially becomes a more elusive target for vaccines. Infectious disease experts say there is no evidence